sleep away inside. Another lonely day without you. So you feel this way inside as the moments pass you by. Living a life without you. Two lonely souls apart. Distant memories fade away. Oh, I am done with you. You say it's over too. Your vicious words have ripped us all apart.
It's a Local Music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show. This is Crimson Driver. It is called Hourglass.
Really good.
Yeah. Beautiful voice. Absolutely wonderful voice. It's a newly formed band out of Omaha, Nebraska. And they are pushing forward, and they want to perform and release a 9-song album by early this summer. So maybe June? June is early summer. I'm here for that. Jody, Mark, and Bill, they're all accomplished musicians coming together, playing original compositions in a mixed style of rock, hard rock, and metal. They already got an album out there with a couple of different singles called Fallen Rain, Diamond Eyes. You can check all those up on all digital outlets. It is Crimson Driver, C-R-I-M-S-O-N, Driver on the Local Music Thursday on the Gary Sharp Show.
All right, so in about an hour, Nebraska volleyball will carry the torch for the pride of the state. They will take on Texas State. I think they are assembling right now in the white fireworks tent that is adjacent to the floor. I mean, there's nothing like serving, George. As I was watching yesterday, and as you look up to serve, you can see the wall that has where the restrooms are located or the concession stand. Probably brings you back to when you were in high school or playing at a club tournament in a facility just like that.
Man.
I'm worried about the low ceiling.
Yeah.
But Nebraska takes on Texas State. Some teams that would be heavy favorites, either a layoff or the conditions, if you're tight or if you're loose, we've seen an impact. Creighton lost yesterday, and they didn't look like they had looked at their best.
Yeah,
and you're playing a team that brand new to the NCAA tournament, or they're all excited to be there, and they were nice and loose. Baylor, who is number 12 in the country, just escaped with a 5-set win over Pepperdine. So Baylor will take on the winner of Nebraska and Texas State.
All right.
So that's coming up at 2:30. Sure, the guys in the afternoon. Stibbs is a huge volleyball fan. He's more of a beach volleyball person. But he'll keep you updated on what's going on downtown. George got the NBA minute here in just a little bit. So the discussion about you get to the Nebraska-Oklahoma game and you're comparing quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler will be the number one quarterback in the country coming into this year in college football. His name will be on all kinds of preseason Heisman lists. Him and Sam Howell. But there's always that quarterback that comes out of, nowhere to get into the mix and then eventually get into the NFL discussion. We've seen it really two straight years. Just scrolling through, this was a good question. Pete says, when was the last time Nebraska's quarterback was better than the other quarterback and Nebraska still lost? Well, let's go through last year. Fields was better. The Northwestern game, I mean, Martinez got taken out of that game. Peyton Ramsey wasn't fantastic. I don't know, would you call that a push? Peters was definitely better than McCaffrey and Martinez. If you want to go to the Iowa game, I think it would be a push. In terms of who had the better quarterback, I mean, Martinez was 18 of 20 in that game. That would be, maybe you could make a case there. And then in the Minnesota game, Tanner Morgan was much better than Nebraska's collection of quarterbacks. It doesn't happen very often. But if you just go through the list this year, and especially in the Big Ten, where a lot of questions are still unanswered about who's going to be your starting quarterback, really there's only one established, bona fide, we've seen enough of him, we know what he's going to be like, quarterback in the West outside of Martinez, who has played the most games, and that is Tanner Morgan. I mean, you know what you're getting out of Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan all of a sudden isn't going to change what he does. Now, I think their offense will be a little bit better. I mean, they had some guys opt out. They had a turnstile of who was playing offensive line, and they had a young offensive line, and they were hit on that side of the ball by COVID. So I wouldn't take a lot out of last year. But Morgan is the only guy in the top 25 that is out of the Big Ten Conference. So there's going to be games this year where Nebraska definitely has the most experienced quarterback, but do they have the best quarterback on the field? And if that means what it should mean, you have the best quarterback on the field, you should have an advantage, and you should be able to take advantage of that advantage. That sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, that flowed.
Tomorrow, we'll talk more about maybe what we're going to see on Saturday. It's for the recruits, people that wander into the stadium that may have an interest of playing at Nebraska. Schools are doing this because the dead period doesn't end until June 1. I think Iowa has an open practice as well coming up this Saturday. But it's going to be more for them, less for the fans. It's still the nice atmosphere of the fans. But why not script the whole thing? I've always thought when it comes to the spring game, and you don't want to show much, but you get that window on the Big Ten Network, and nothing official, but I think Nebraska will be on the Big Ten Network on May 1 for their spring game. You just turn it into, if you don't want to play a full game, just turn it into a recruiting video for whatever the Big Ten Network gives you, an hour, 2 hours. And you run it as a practice where you can script a lot of things for people watching at home to view. Now, normal times, your sidelines are littered with recruits that are in town for your spring game. But what if you can't make it? They can still watch it on TV. Why not script it to your benefit? Florida is someone that does this as well. Florida doesn't play necessarily a true spring game. They kind of start with a practice, and then they morph into 11-on-11. But they set the whole thing up as a recruiting tool. Georgia does the same thing with G-Day. Now, they do more of a game, but it should, like, I imagine when people watch Monday night and they watch Brett Bielema show off his team for the first time, it is a scripted hour, 2 hour show about Illinois football. You interview the head coach, you got the coordinators. It's essentially the Big Ten Network doing their preseason tour around the country, but you've got a game and going on that you'll show. I don't know. I that's the way I would do it. Nebraska's tried in the past, but I think that's what Saturday will kind of be like a lot of scripted stuff, and then there'll be a period where it's full go, and that at least gives you a sense of guys when you're going 11-on-11, what they can do. All right, 1:34, let's chat with Dave here real quick. Dave, hello.
What's going on, Gay?
How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. I wanted to touch a little bit earlier. You were talking about baseball etiquette.
Yes.
I'm an old school guy. I'm a base stealer. I like bunting. All that gritty stuff, I guess you could say. I think if I was a pitcher, you get in the eighth or ninth inning and you bunted for a base hit, I might stick the next guy, or I may try to pick you off and maybe hit you in the ribs. Is that wrong?
No, I don't think it's wrong. Okay, I don't think it's wrong for you to do that, but is it wrong for someone to try and lay down a bunt?
Okay, not to draw it out. What's the score? If it's a 5-0 ball game, etiquette says you're not stealing a base, so forth. Now, you remember, this was some years going back, but Nebraska was playing somebody and Drew Anderson from Kearney stole the base, and then the next guy got plunked because it was like a 10-run lead or something.
Yes. So let's say in this case, let's say it's 5-0. We're in the eighth inning.
you bunt, I'm sticking the next guy, or I'm putting one in your ribs. I mean, at that point, your run don't matter. Your hit don't matter. I get it, maybe you're trying to start something. If there's two outs or even one out, swing the bat.
Okay. Well, you can make a case for both of these. Now, I think the old school person would be like, nope, respect the game. Why are you trying to lay down a bunt? But maybe unless that's what you do. You know, if you tried to lay down a bunt in the first inning and you come back around and you're at the plate in the eighth and you try the same thing. But there's a lot of old school baseball players that will say that's not cool to do. But then there will be others that'll say, like you kind of alluded to, all right, hey, it might be 5-0, but you never know. You get on base, the pitcher finally gives up a hit. You know, when there'll be times when a pitcher will lose his no-hitter, and then he loses his compass, and he's out of the game, and things might change. There's both sides of this, but where this discussion went from were the two cases last night, which really kind of surprised me. One, Naylor sprinting down the first baseline to try and beat out the play that was made by Abreu. I'm okay with that. If I'm an Indian fan or I'm in that dugout, good on Naylor for busting it out of the box and trying to beat that out. Because it was not a given that it was just going to be an easy ground ball to Abreu. He was going to glove it and then stomp over and touch first base. So I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
That I get. If you put the ball in play, you hit a chopper, or you hit a slow roller or whatever, grind it, try to beat it out. But intentionally bunting, not liking it.
Okay. Now, the other part that I heard some people were a little upset with was Roberto Perez not getting out of the way last night. That he let the ball thrown in the ninth hit him on the foot.
Yeah, that... I don't agree with that either. I mean, I don't agree with these guys leaning into pitches and, you know, that if you get hit, you get hit. But, you know, you go back to the Mets game a couple of weeks ago, the guy leaned into one, ended up being a game winner.
Yes.
So that's just my two cents. I may be wrong. I'm wrong a lot, Gary. You know that.
Well, no, but I you've seen it happen before. So there's one of the more famous ones about bunting to break up a no-hitter. Curt Schilling is throwing a perfect game. This might be about 20 years ago. And he's throwing a perfect game, and Ben Davis bunted on him. I think we lost Dave. We lost Dave. Dyson, this is even earlier. Justin Verlander's throwing a perfect game. And, you know, Verlander is pretty stubborn, and he's got an opinion. He's an old-school guy. Dyson bunted on him. Gerard Dyson, who's now back with the Royals, bunted to break up Verlander's perfect game bid. And people thought, kind of maybe along the lines of Dave, that Verlander would plunk the next guy. No, he wasn't upset. And after the game, he described it as a perfect bunt. But that also, Dyson does that. He bunts. But nowadays, whether you're bunting to break up a no-hitter, you're probably doing that before the seventh. Just watch what I'm starting to feel, is that more major league games, if it is 4-5-0, and you get to the seventh, eighth inning, how quickly teams go down. They don't put much of a fight up at the plate. That's something I've observed in the last year or so, of how easily teams go down late in games. And last night, the Indians didn't go down. Good on them. And it's unfortunate for Rodon. And it's him. It's not like it's a teammate that flubbed the ball at second base. He hit Perez on the foot. And of all places. And that's how two perfect games have been broken up in the last week in Major League Baseball. Fortunately, they ended up as no-hitters. But they were both interrupted by hit by pitches. All right, quick break, come back. George will stop in with chatter about the NBA, and we'll put a wrap on this Thursday edition of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.